First of all, as the leaders of Marriage Fellowship, we would like to present you with this gift, a token of our love, and the love and the devotion you have for each other and God has been a blessing to us and to others.
And may your love and relationship that you share with one another continue to be an example and a role model to others here in the church. God bless you.
And the gifts can be placed up here. If anybody brought cards or monetary gifts, there's a basket up here for those to be received, and any gifts. And of course, today's not the only day, but come prepared to honor our pastors.
And Woven wants to honor our pastors, and I can set the gift, but you know, Fiona, we always try to surprise you, so this gift shows that maybe you would rip it open so that you can be surprised. Keep going. It's a Jack in the Box. So.
Thank you.
And then there's.
Oh, and the Amazon card.
But we just thank you that we have faithful pastors who are there to train us up and give us the opportunity to grow in our gifts, and they expect us to move forward and not just stay sitting in our seats, and we just appreciate that. So thank you.
Thank you.
You need to hold that. I need to hold. Well, yeah. Okay. I can. I need this. This is from, since I am the VCF missions director, this requires some explanation. Okay, we have some
food from around the world.
We have some. Can you hold a bat? Oh, let me get that out first. Polish water to celebrate Pastor Doug's heritage. Okay. And it's given a cup of water, right, like you said a while ago. We have Kronon coffee from Germany. We have European coffee. I don't know, it became a European theme, and I didn't mean to do it this way, but maybe it's a prophetic thing.
England needs salvation.
Thanks to Jeffrey, who was shopping with me. He picked out the English.
Well, nothing broke, but the basket.
Registered is nothing bad. Alcoholic in there. Basket's probably imported from China. But anyway, what else we have? We have Greek olive oil. We got blackberry jam from Turkey. And they're not made in China either. They are actually made in the country of Italian. I don't know about this, but it's Italian gnocchi. Oh, and then we didn't forget, we got you some Mexican hot sauce. But then last but not least, a little more of Mexico. Fiesta Mexico.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, we just thought it was like VCF missions and reflecting worldwide missions. Anyway.
G3 is part of Woven, but they wanted to bless you with some baked goods since the gals like to bake.
Okay, the kitchen ministry did not go out and buy things, but I didn't get to contact each one, but I know that those that I didn't yet will still go along with it. But our gift to you is within this coming year, you depict a time when you want us to prepare a special meal for you, and you can either have it for at your home or you can have it for when you're here, and that's our gift to you, because we love you and we love that you speak the word in truth and honesty. You don't sugarcoat it, and we love you for that.
Well, I don't think I really need it, but I'm going to use the microphone anyway. As the youth leader, we would like to thank you for the wonderful freedom you've given us to do our thing here and have a good time and learn about God and the love he has for us. And as our gift to you, we'd like to render our services in the future for anything you need, yard cleanup, helping with a meal, or anything you can come up with. So, just let us know and we'll be there.
And the audiovisual department would like to thank you for the opportunity to serve and for the investments that you've made to upgrade all of our equipment so we can have better worship, and thank you. And we have a gift for you.
Praise God. Thank you very much. It may come across, but pastoring is a passion of mine. And we have the best group of people ever. So thank you very much. And praise God. Yep, we want to dismiss the kids for our kids' life. So kids and teachers, we're going to dismiss you. Hallelujah. God is so good. Well, we are talking about the harvest. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to the book of Acts, chapter 13. You know, we all have a part to play in the harvest of God. He talked about, in one of the parables, about a great net catching a harvest of fish. Each one of us make up the net. And when we're not working together, there is a hole in our net. And fish are going to slip through that net. And, you know, oftentimes people wonder why people leave a church, and as a pastor, I wonder that too, because oftentimes they never tell me. But you know what? For everyone that comes and ones that don't stay and leave, we are still need to be about our Father's business. And each one of us has a story to tell. You say, well, I was never on drugs, and I was never a bad person. I don't really have much of a testimony. Listen, all of us were delivered from death. Amen? And if Jesus is in your heart, then you have a story to tell. And you have a wonderful life to live because God has touched your heart. Now, Jesus said something interesting about the harvest. He said, pray. He said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his field. So we're going to talk today about praying for the harvest. Is there anybody that can't pray? You know, we may not be able to get out like we could for different reasons, but we certainly can pray. Amen? Amen? And prayer is so important. If you're going to do anything for God, it's going to start with prayer. And here in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says this. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. So here were people, here were workers who were gathered in this church. And verse 2 said, as they ministered to the Lord. They began to minister to the Lord. What does it mean to minister to the Lord? It means to worship. It means to pray. It means to wait on Him. You know, in other words, their focus was on the Lord. They were putting the Lord first. Every other activity took second place. And they were taking some time to minister to the Lord. How many know that the Lord enjoys when we minister to Him? Amen? He loves to hear your voice. He loves to fellowship with you. He loves to talk with you. And they fasted. So while ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Ghost said, I want you to notice that as they ministered to the Lord, they created an atmosphere where the Holy Ghost could speak. You know, if you're going to do something for God, anything at all, you need divine direction. You need instruction from the Holy Spirit because He knows everything. He knows the dangers that you're going to encounter. He knows the traps that the enemy tries to set. And He can help you avoid those traps. So it's extremely important. Every message that I do, every message that I preach, I always ask the Lord, what do you want to say to the people today? Because ultimately, He knows who's going to be here. And I want to be a good representative of the Father and the Father's heart. So while they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have what? I want you to notice they had been called, but now came their separation time to be separated to this specific work. You know, sometimes, you know, God will call a person, but sometimes that calling may not be readily manifested. Amen? And sometimes the Lord has to work some things in you character-wise because God will only take you where your character can sustain you. And so the Holy Ghost had he was about to reveal something specific about the plan that He had for Barnabas and Saul. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. They sent them away. I want you to notice that they went representing this church that they were at, and the church got to send them out. And oftentimes, when someone does a work, we should lay hands on them, and we should let the Holy Spirit anoint them and saturate them for that work. Amen? We believe on the laying on of hands. And the Bible says, lay hands on no man suddenly, unless they really get under your skin. No, I'm just kidding. Now look at verse 4. Being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. I want you to notice, even the Holy Ghost was, although the Holy Ghost was orchestrating it, men were involved. People were involved, amen? Anytime God's going to do a work, people are going to be involved. God wants to use people. God wants to use me. God wants to use each and every one of you. And he's got just the way that he wants to use you. Each one of us have different gifts. And God will use your gifts to reach the people that he has for you. I remember when I was in Bible school, God first spoke to me. He said, you're going to travel for a short time, and then you'll pastor. And so when I got out of Rhema, when I finished Rhema, when I graduated, I went back home. And I was helping my youth pastor, who was at the church I was attending in Illinois, because I graduated Rhema in May, and I wasn't going to Lee until January of the following year. So I went back home, and I just made myself available. I started serving. And any opportunity that I had to preach, I preached. And at that time, we were probably maybe doing about 40 meetings a year, traveling to different places, doing short-term mission trips. I preached a week-long revival in my hometown at a Church of God. And just any opportunity that would come. But I remember that it was in Pennsylvania, sitting under Sam Smucker, I felt God change my heart. He shifted my heart from an evangelist to a pastor. You know, you got to have a heart to pastor. Amen? You got to have a heart for people. And many of you don't know it, but as a pastor, I mean, we get to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. Amen? We get to see a lot of Clint Eastwood Christians. And oftentimes I want to say, go ahead and make my day. And the enemy tries to get you to stop loving people. But you know what? I'm not going to stop loving people. And so they were sent out by the Holy Ghost, and they departed. They sailed to Cyprus. Verse 5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look at verses 1 through 5. Finally, what are some things that we should pray specifically about how to bring the harvest about? Finally, brethren, pray for us. Who is the us? Pray for the ones that can go out, that the word may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. So one of the things that we can pray as believers is we can pray that the word of God has free course. You know, we have a release time program here every Friday. Anybody know what a release time program is? Well, every Friday, we have the opportunity to bring third, fourth, and fifth graders from a public school for 1 hour right here for Bible teaching. But you know what? The school, they don't give out our flyer. Now, the school will have our flyer in the office, but we got to do a lot of extra work to get the word out. And right now, as of this past Friday, we had 21 kids. Our goal is to have 25. And a lot of these kids don't go to church. A lot of them have never even heard the gospel, but we have this opportunity. And you know what? We've got to pray that the word of God has free course in our town. We've got to pray that the word of God has free course into our schools. Because the enemy will try to resist. He doesn't want the word to have free course, because he understands the power of the word. If the word wasn't so powerful, the enemy wouldn't try to resist it so much. Amen? You know, that's why I always wonder about atheists. If you don't believe something exists, why go to so extreme to prove that it doesn't exist? I don't understand that. Well, that's just my thinking. And notice verse 2. Another thing that we need to pray for concerning the harvest, pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men, not all men have the faith. Do you realize that there are some people that don't believe like you do? They're, and the Bible calls them wicked and evil, and they're going to try to do harm to those who preach the gospel. And one of the little girls that comes to release time is already experiencing persecution. They're calling her, oh, you invite people to release time. But you know what? She still invites people anyway. Amen? But we've got to pray that those who are preaching the gospel can be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Because not all men have the faith. We're going to have to pray. You know, just the other day, Fiona just felt led to pray for her brother. He was going through something. She didn't know what he was going through, but the Holy Spirit quickened her to pray. Amen? And this is what I'm talking about. We need some people that are willing to pray no matter when God needs you. All God wants is your availability. You know, there are people that want to put God in their own box. Okay, God, I'm available here, here, and here. You know? But you've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and our prayers are not limited. In other words, they're not limited through time. They're not limited through space. They're not limited through location. Amen? You can pray. And I want to encourage us to pray. Pray these things for the harvest. Verse 3, for the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Aren't you glad that we've got a God that keeps us from evil? Do you realize that there was a hit squad that committed themselves to follow Paul? And everywhere the Apostle Paul went, this group who was motivated by Satan, they would stir up the crowds and they would do physical harm to Paul. He was beaten with rods. 5 times or 3 times, he was whipped 3 times, stoned to death once. Did that stop Paul preaching? Because I'm sure that Paul had someone praying for him somewhere that he would be delivered from unreasonable wicked men and that the word of God would have free course and that he would be established. Verse 4, we have confidence in the Lord touching you, both to do and to will. Both to do and will do the things which we command you, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. This is something that we can pray for the harvest. Amen? And God will strengthen you. Go to Psalm 85. And I apologize about my gangster voice, but you know, Psalm 85 has an awesome prayer that we can pray. And we're going to go through this because Jesus said to pray, didn't he? Who is he telling to pray? Every believer, right? Say, I am not excluded. And God needs you to pray individually. He needs you to pray corporately. He needs you to pray in English. He needs you to pray in the Spirit. Amen? God's got given us so many ways that we can pray. But he just needs people to pray to the Lord of the harvest. How many conversations have you had with God about the harvest? How many conversations have you had about open doors to reach people for Jesus? Don't raise your hands. But if I was to take a poll, I would probably say we'd be lacking in that, wouldn't we? What is going to bring about Jesus' return to this earth? It's going to be gathering in the harvest. Amen? So wouldn't we want the harvest to be gathered in as quickly and as efficiently and as effectively as possible? then one of the things that we can do is to pray. And I want to encourage you to pray today. Psalm 85. Lord, you have been favorable unto your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. I am tired of people emphasizing the negative about this nation and about this government. When are we going to declare what God is doing? I mean, come on. I'm not going to magnify the devil. I'm going to magnify God. Verse 2, you have forgiven the iniquity of your people. Isn't that good news? That's something that people need to have the revelation that they've been forgiven of their iniquity. Praise God. You have covered all their sin. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned yourself from the fierceness of your anger. You know, God wants to show mercy before he shows judgment. And you know what the difference is between mercy and judgment? Is prayer. What was the difference between mercy and judgment in Nineveh? Because Jonah obeyed the call to go to Nineveh, and he declared, he said, in 40 days, this nation is going to be destroyed. That declaration was like a prayer. God was giving a warning of what was going to come, but he didn't say that that was final. It wasn't written in stone, because with that warning came repentance. And the Ninevites began to repent. Even the king took off his robe and put on sackcloth and ashes, and he repented, and it was the prayer. It was the proclamation of Jonah going forth that brought repentance to a nation. Amen? Yes, God does judge, but as long as there's some Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled people in this nation, we can turn the course of judgments. And all we've got to do is pray. Now, to be an effective prayer, you got to stay full of God and full of the Holy Ghost. Verse 4. Turn, O God, of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. You know, Paul told Timothy that we ought to pray for kings and those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. When it's quiet and peaceable, we can really promote the gospel. Amen? It's not to say that the gospel can't be promoted in struggling times, but when there's peaceful times, you can really go out. You have the freedom to go out and preach the gospel. Amen? Will you be angry with us forever? Will you draw out your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? You know what? This country has had several great awakenings, and I think we're due for another. But if we want an awakening, the church is going to have to wake up. Amen? You're going to have to, as a believer in Christ, you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. What does that mean? Number one, you got to report for duty. Number two, you got to minister to the Lord. Number three, you got to stay full, be filled. Ephesians 5, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen? And when you're filled with the Spirit, God can use you. You'll be like a finely oiled tool. Like a surgeon's scalpel in the hands of a skilled surgeon. You're God's scalpel. You're God's x-ray machine. You're God's sonogram. Amen? You're God's proclaimer. Say, I'm God's proclaimer. Sometimes you're a defibrillator. Sometimes you got to bring people from the brink of death. Sometimes you're a fireman. You got to pull people from the fire. Sometimes you got to do spiritual CPR on people. I don't know why I'm using all those terms, but it fits. We need to be revived again. Revival starts here in the church. When our worship should be one voice and one sound so that the glory of God can just do what it needs to do. You know what? Sometimes we need just people to be laid out in worship. God, I know that God needs to do some spiritual surgery on some of you. And in order to do that, he may have to lay you out. It's like when the soldiers, I was just reading in John, and the soldiers came and they got Jesus and they said, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the one we come for?" And he said, "I am." And when he said, "I am," every soldier fell down to the ground. Because in that word, he just revealed a glimpse of his glory. Verse 8. Well, show us your mercy, O Lord. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Are we, as individuals, listening to what God's saying? Well, if you're really listening to what God is saying, then there's going to be some behaviors that are going to be different. You can't say that you're listening to God and acting like a devil. Because, I mean, if you're acting like a devil, you're not going to be praying anyway. Amen? It's important for us to hear what the Lord is speaking. God is not someone, I mean, God is a talker. He's speaking. Do you realize that the words that he spoke are holding this universe together? Not one of his words lose power. The "and" of God is all powerful. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. You know what folly is? It's a fool. Folly is something that a fool does. And I know we minister to the singles how not to be a fool one night. You go through the book of Proverbs, it tells you how not to be a fool. Surely salvation is near to them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. I tell you what, I want the glory to dwell in this land. Each one of you are carriers of God's glory. You know, like an aircraft carrier carries planes? Well, you carry God's glory. And you can launch glory strikes from your vessel. Amen? How do you launch glory strikes? J-E-S-U-S is the code. And all you got to do is punch in that code. Upon the mention of his name, the Bible said demons tremble. You can launch an aerial assault. You've got weapons of warfare. And part of your weapons is prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all manner of prayer in the Spirit. But this is something that we've got to do if we're serious about the harvest. Pray that God would fill each and every one of these seats. And God may say, "Okay, Tony, I want you to go here. God wants this person to be in this seat. But now he needs someone to go to that person." And because Tony's been praying to the Lord of the harvest, send laborers, he said, "Tony, well, I think I'm just going to send you." So Tony goes to this person, and he's hearing from God, and he starts ministering to this person. This person gets saved. Now they can go on to the next one. Amen? But when they come in then it's up to us to nurture them. Amen. To help them grow. You know, we're not just into getting people saved. I want to see disciples made. Mercy and truth meet together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. That's harvest. When the land yields its increase, that's harvest. But our prayers are like fertilizer to help the crop grow. Our prayers, do you realize, why did God establish man praying in the name of Jesus for him to do things on this earth? I mean, God could just come down, couldn't he? And he could just do things that he wanted to do, because God is all powerful, God is omniscient, God is omnipresent, right? But there are certain things that he's already established in his kingdom of how things should work, and God wants to use you to reach other people. He could commission angels. And angels have ministered to people, but angels have never shared the gospel. How can they go unless they're sent? How can they preach unless they be sent? And blessed are the feet of them that bring good news. How many have beautiful feet in here? How many have blessed feet? A blessed feet are feet who bring good news. Bring good news. Let's look at that in Romans 10. I don't want to misquote it. Romans 10. Verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, there are two ways that you can bring glad tidings. Number one is how you live. You don't even have to say anything. You can just live the right way. You know, your behavior is a reflection of what you believe. Come on. You may not believe it. You can say amen or oh me, but it's so anyway. How you behave is what you believe. And the second way is you can actually go and preach. What does it mean? Well, I'm not a preacher. Just tell someone what Jesus did for you. You know how easy it is to make disciples? I shared this with the men yesterday. Go with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I'm getting ready to close. See, if I was from the South, I'd say I'm commencing to begin to start to finish. Okay. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. What is John doing? John is testifying to Jesus. John was in the wilderness. He was a wild man. And he didn't have a church, but he had a river. And God sent people out to John to hear about Jesus, because his mission was to introduce Jesus to the world. Okay? Verse 32 says, "And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost." John was sent to baptize. Who sent him? The Holy Ghost. From his mother's womb, God programmed John to get excited about Jesus. And he was so excited about Jesus, he couldn't keep Jesus to himself. Even when he was in the womb and he heard Jesus, he was saying, "Mama, let me out. I'm ready to go now." He was doing flip-flops in Elizabeth's womb. Let's go down to verse 35. "The next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking up to Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak," and what did they do? Imagine that. They heard John speak, and they become followers of Jesus. Sometimes you just need to let people hear you speak. Now, if you're going to speak fear, you might want to be quiet. If you're going to complain, you might want to be quiet. Complaining doesn't point people to Jesus. It points people to the problem. Oh, you mean my complaining might affect my witness? Absolutely. If people hear you complain all the time, you're not going to witness for Christ. God is not a complainer or a whiny baby. Okay, who were these two disciples of John? John just lost two disciples. Because he talked about Jesus, they started following Jesus. But John wasn't upset because he knew that that was his mission. He came to point people to Jesus. You know, the ministry of John is still going on today. Okay. "Then Jesus turned and saw them following." What were they doing? They were following Jesus. "And said unto them, What do you seek? They said unto him, Rabbi," which is be interpreted master, "where do you dwell? And he said, Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt. Did you notice that Jesus had some place to dwell? "And he abode with him that day." Let me tell you something. When they got turned on to Jesus, they began their own relationship with Jesus. Now, who were these two people? Verse 40. "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." So Andrew and Peter were John's disciples before Jesus came on the scene. But when Jesus came on the scene, they went to Jesus because John pointed them to Jesus. They heard what John said about Jesus. They heard John magnify Jesus. They heard John talk about Jesus. And the first thing that Andrew did, verse 41, he finds his own brother Simon and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. First thing he did was he went after his brother. And what did he do? He shared Jesus. "We have found the Christ, the Messiah." How hard was that? All he did was he shared his knowledge about Jesus. Okay? Verse 42, "And he brought him to Jesus." Let me tell you, some people that you share Jesus with, you're going to have to bring them. Come on. You got to bring them. Because they're like a little baby. They need help. They need nurture. They need patience. "And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas." That was signifying that that Peter was going to have a new nature. A new name means a new nature. Verse 43. "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and found Philip. And Jesus said unto him, Follow me." Boy, that was really deep, wasn't it? Follow me. Okay. See, we tend to think that witnessing is so hard, but it's not. Say, witnessing is easy. Say, I can witness. I have the power to witness. The Holy Ghost gives me the words to say. And I'm bold as a lion. So Satan can't mess with me. And then what did Philip do? Verse 45, Philip finds Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write. In other words, he pointed Nathanael to the Word. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said, come and see. Listen, if someone doubts what you're saying, just tell them, come and see. I dare you. I double dog dare you. I triple dog dare you. Come and see. How many love this place where we get to worship? How many love the people that are part of this that come to worship? Well, you know what? If so many people love it, we ought to be telling everybody we know. You would with a good restaurant. Oh, yeah, you ought to try this place, man. It's so good. Oh, yeah, we promote restaurants. But we need to be about making disciples. Followers of Jesus. Listen, I don't want people following me, but I want people to follow Jesus. Amen? If you come to me, I'll point you to Jesus. But this is all part of the harvest. We need to be praying. We need to be calling God, and we need to be open for when God wants to use us, however he wants to use us, to whomever. You know, he might send Dottie to a big biker guy with spiked purple hair or whatever. Hey, you know what? We welcome people with purple hair. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what shape you are. I don't care where you come from. I don't care where your background. You're welcome here. Yeah. Amen? Because, I mean, at times we're like an emergency room. We got to help people. But our primary thing that we've got to do today is we've got to pray. I want us to just join together. If you can stand, I want you to stand. If you don't, if you can't stand, that's all right. You can just sit. But I want you to engage God. And Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus and we pray to the Lord of the harvest. Father, we ask you to send laborers into your harvest field. Lord, the harvest is ripe. It's plenteous right here in Palmyra. And Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus to send laborers to help us gather in the harvest in the name of Jesus. Lord, we say, here am I. Use me. Use me, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that your word would have free course in this area, in this town, Father. Pray that your word would have free course in our local governments. Pray that your word would have free course in our schools. Father, that your word will be able to get into our schools and kids will be able to be taught the word of God in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, Father. We give our holy hands to you. Lord, we make a fresh commitment, Father, to work with you, to work with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Father, we want you to do a great work in this place. Lord, we call this barn, this storage place, we call it full in the name of Jesus. Lord, that the glory of God would go forth to the north, the south, the east, and the west. And because we lift up Jesus in this place, we pray, Lord, that you would draw men to you. Heavenly Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus for doors of opportunity to be opened unto all of us to preach the gospel. Lord, we thank you that we hear the voice of your Spirit, which leads and guides and directs us in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that we have power because the Holy Ghost has come upon us, and we can be witnesses in Palmyra, in Lebanon, in Harrisburg, and over all of Pennsylvania, and over all the world, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for our teenagers. I pray that our teenagers would catch the fire of sharing their faith with other teenagers in the name of Jesus. Lord, may you equip every teenager, every child, every adult, Father, to share the faith, to share what Jesus has done for them in Jesus' name. Lord, connect us with the lost, the hurting, the spiritually dead, those that have devils so that we can cast them out. We can heal the sick. We can cleanse the leper. We can raise the dead. We can cast out devils because freely we have received and freely we can give. Father, I pray that you would stir up the hearts of your people here in this place, Father, that you would set us ablaze. Father, give us a compassionate heart for the lost. Those who win souls as wise. Lord, we want to be wise. We want to be about our Father's business. We want to do our part to bring in the harvest in the name of Jesus. There is a greater work to be done right here. God wants to use anybody who'll be available. He'll use you where he's planted you. He'll cause you to have influence with your peers, with your co-workers, in your neighborhood, in your families. He'll remove the reproach. But I challenge you to pray and seek God's face and ask the Lord, say, Lord, what can I do and what do you want me to do? And just do it. The only thing that you can take to heaven with you is those you've shared the gospel with. Amen? Some of you are thinking of people right now. Start working on them. Start praying for them. Start loving them. Don't criticize them. Don't condemn them. Just keep loving them. And let God draw them in. Let the power of the Holy Spirit draw them in. You know, we've had a couple people over the years, they drove by and they said, I was compelled to come in. Something was causing me to come into this place. This is a good place for people to grow in the knowledge of God. You know, there's a movement that says you don't need to be a part of a church because you can have God on your own. But that is such a lie because Jesus is the head of the church. He bought the church with his blood. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And church is important. You know, if you can, be on time. Now, I understand circumstances, but if you can, do your best to be here on time and let's get ready. We've got a harvest to bring in. This is every believer's responsibility. And just be you. You know what? I'm so blessed to see how God uses people in such a variety of ways. Some people have technical skills, and God uses their technical skills to get the gospel out, and that's great. Do what you know to do. Do what you can do. But listen, we're not living in a day and hour when we can slack our responsibilities in the kingdom. God wants to build his kingdom, and he wants to use you. Amen? Will you allow God to use you? Father, I, Lord, we just open our hearts and we ask you, Father, to use us. Here we are. Use us. Use our gifts, our talents, our abilities, our resources. Use our connections. Use our relationships for the glory of the gospel. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. And be praying for the harvest. Amen. Today is a call to prayer. And maybe we need to look and see if we need to have some other available times to come at the church, different times throughout the day. You know, because maybe sometimes when you're in here, you're more likely to pray. So we'll look at that and we'll see what's available and how we can utilize that. Amen. Yeah, you can come on the property. There's a bench outside if no one's here. You can walk the property. And just want to give you an update on the van. We got to get a battery for the van because the battery's kind of weak, but we're still waiting to get it inspected. It's currently sitting at my house right now. And but the van is in our possession and we just got to get it inspected and it'll be a great tool. So God bless you guys. And thank you guys for being a part of this. Amen. Thank you for allowing Pastor Fiona and I to pastor you and to preach the word of God. And thank you for serving. Thank you for giving. Thank you for supporting this work. And we're in for great things. God's got great things in store. Amen. So you ain't seen nothing yet. Have a blessed day.